Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Wow, it's good to see some of you back. Michelle, you feeling better, huh? Janet, you've been liberated, right? That's it. Got your halo polished even brighter than usual.
I'm
taking care of the sick, right? I was sick and you comforted me. Okay? Michael, she said he passed. So he's got three more to go and then he's done. So it's good to have you back also. Today's begins the first in a five-part series on the Great Fast itself. Father Mark, who's the dean in this area, we were talking on the phone this past week and about how, you know, many would say there are four Sundays of preparation for the Great Fast beginning next week with the publican and the Pharisee. But as we explore this reading of Zacchaeus, we can see that really we should consider it as part of this preparation, huh? Because of the message that it makes. Next Sunday, of course, is the publican and the Pharisee. It's a call to humble sorrow for our sins. And then after that is the Sunday of the prodigal son. It tells us of the necessity of repentance and God's reaction to our repentance. Next, after that, is last judgment, a warning of God's justice and the necessity of good works. And finally, Forgiveness Sunday, when we seek to set right our relationships with each other and with God. Now, the reason I include today in the Sundays of preparation for the Great Fast is that it shows us that change in our lives is very much dependent on our choices and on our actions. Change certainly depends on God's grace. But we have to choose to cooperate with that grace and to take the appropriate actions, as we've discussed before, to be synergistic with that grace. Let's look at Zacchaeus, who he was, what choices he made, and what actions he took. And we notice in the first part of the passage, it says, "And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was a rich man." The publicans were tax collectors. And they were despised by the Jews because they were considered to be collaborators with the Romans. And you were free to charge anything you wanted above the Romans' cut. The Roman tax was usually 10%. So if you were the tax collector, you could charge anything above that was yours to pocket, as long as you collected the 10%. And so that's what. And so we see that he was rich. Okay, so probably he was charging more than the 10%. Now, all publicans weren't necessarily evil, but Matthew was called, right? He was a publican. He was called to be one of the apostles. But here he was the chief publican, meaning he was the head one, the head tax collector. All right, so now we know who he is. And what did he do, right? Let's look and see, now moving again into that passage. Now here's where I think the King James is a little better, the translation, than that New King James that I read to you. It says, "And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press of the crowd, because he was of short stature." You see, the New King James just translates that, "He sought to see Jesus and could not." You need to see the difference here. He sought to see Jesus, who he was. Okay? Now, he wasn't just because Jesus was a public curiosity, which he was. He attracted crowds because of they wanted to see miracles done and all that. But rather, he came because he wanted to know who Jesus was. He wanted to know him. Huh? So that, then, is the great message of the Zacchaeus story, that he sought to see and to know God. And we have to take that first step to see and to know God. Because in the book of Revelation, this is a passage that's on point. Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and will sup with him and he with me. I stand at the door and knock." God is almost like a beggar of his love. He doesn't force it on us. Rather, we must seek it out. Jesus tells us that he's at the door, but we must seek for us to have the door opened. We've got to be the ones that seek to have the door opened. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus says this: ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto thee. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. We've got to do our part. That's more of the message for the Great Fast. The Great Fast is us doing some of our part to open the door, to let Jesus into our hearts. Okay? Why didn't Jesus just kick in the door? Force himself on us. Because forced love is not love. We've got to make the choice to love. So, what we need to do then is look at the priorities in our lives and see what it is that's hindering us from loving Jesus fully. What separates us from him? Zacchaeus was separated from Jesus by the crowd. Our passions and our sins can be a crowd separating us from Jesus. Maybe we're angry with someone and our pride keeps us from forgiving the object of our anger. Despite the fact that John writes that love of neighbor is intricately tied in with loving God. Many times that seems to be such a difficult thing for us. Anger at someone. This is John writing in his first epistle. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Unless we love, we won't know God. We must love all fully so that our love of God is complete. But maybe it's not anger. Maybe we're caught up with sins of the flesh, and we find it hard to give them up. Sometimes our sins can be and seem quite pleasurable. And they're difficult for us to let go of, and they become the crowd that keeps us from seeing Jesus. Perhaps our tongue is used to both praise God and to damn our neighbor. The tongue, many times, is that crowd that keeps us from seeing and knowing Jesus. And they're just a few examples of how sin separates us from Jesus. You see that as Zacchaeus was separated from Jesus by the crowd, so too our untamed passions that lead to sin are for us the crowd that separates us. Now let's go back to Zacchaeus and see what he did when he could not see Jesus. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. He climbed a tree, and it wasn't an easy feat for a little short guy. Yeah? I'm sure it wouldn't be a very good or easy feat for a big fat guy. That was a joke. Hey, are you all waiting for me to be done, or are you just tired from this morning? Okay. He climbed a tree, and it wasn't easy for him. The fast is our sycamore tree, our way of getting to see Jesus, to know Jesus, to look above the crowd of our passions and our sins. So what will come of us once we see Jesus clearer and know him better? Hopefully we'll be moved to act like Zacchaeus. We'll go back and see what did Zacchaeus say. He says, he stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore it to him fourfold. He repents and he says, I will make restitution. And hopefully that's what we'll do when the fast as our sycamore tree allows us to see Jesus clearer and to know him better because we're above the passions. Hopefully then we'll be moved to repentance. Yeah, maybe we'll make amends, or hopefully we'll make amends for our sins as well. So the fast then is a time for us to, as I said, tame the passions and cultivate the virtues. And by doing so, we can better see Jesus and know him without the crowd of our sins and passions in the way. But it's up to us. We have to take action to climb the tree, to be synergistic with the grace of God. Now, the fast is an active thing as opposed to passive. And I think that's a big difference between us and the East as they understand the Lenten period. We don't really speak of giving up things or of doing penance as much as we speak of fasting, prayer, scripture reading, and almsgiving as Lenten activities designed to help us move closer to God. Taming those passions and cultivating those virtues allows us to rise above them and to see Jesus clearer and to know him better. We put our hearts, minds, and souls into training to be better lovers of God and each other. And we hope for the same results as Zacchaeus. Let's see what that results of for Zacchaeus was. And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation. Come to thy house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Huh? So the Lord says, "You see, I've come again to the house of this man. I've come to the house of this man because why? He's repent. He knew he was going to repent. He knew that he was seeking him out, that Zacchaeus was seeking Jesus out, and so he does what? He brings the great graces to his house. Let's use the great fast as a means also to be found by our loving God and to be saved by him. That's what we want to do. Use that. Make it. That's the title on the webpage of this homily, is that the great fast is our sycamore tree. So let's use it then to help us rise above our passions and our sins to see Jesus clearer and to know him and love him better. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.